with me, if you will, to the Gospel according to John, chapter 12. And we'll read in your hearing verses 36 through 43. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 12, verses 36 through 43. Give you a moment to get there. Sister Phyllis, as always, has been good and kind enough to put it up on the screen. I will be reading from the New American Standard Bible. And it is one of the more literal interpretations of what we have of our Bible. I'm giving you a moment still to get there. If you haven't gotten there yet, I have one suggestion for you, and that suggestion would be Sunday school. So if you haven't found it just yet, it is up on your screen, and it reads on this wise. So Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light." Now these things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah, the prophet, which spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? Whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason, they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes and he has hardened their heart, so they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them." These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even the rulers, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43, "For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God." And so just for a few moments of the time that we have together, I'm going to talk to you from the thought, the theme, the idea, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that we have the word that you have given us, Father God, to encourage us, to lead us, to guide us, to open our hearts and our minds to hear from you. And so such is our prayer this day, that Father God, that you would do that only you could do, which is to open our eyes that we might see, open our hearts that we might perceive. And then, Lord, we pray that you would heal us. Not only that, Father God, our prayer is that for those who may not necessarily be encouraged, but then that those who do not know you in the pardon of their sin might say to themselves, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be healed?" And then, Father God, my prayer for myself is that you would decrease me, and that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart might be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, the strength, my strength, and my Redeemer. I pray, Father God, that your words would go forth and do the things that you've purposed them to do, some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and still others to come into a saving knowledge of you. Pray that you would hide me behind the cross, that the people would see you and not me. Now, these and all other things I ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. Harden not your heart. You know, for a great period of time that we have been together, I have preached from the gospel according to John and took a couple of deviations to go into some other passages of scripture. But for the most part, we've been consistently in the gospel according to John, and certainly our Bible study has taken us through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and currently we are in the book of Revelation. So all are letters or epistles, and certainly the Revelation was also penned by John himself. And so we do all this so that we have a good idea in regards to the writings of John, the idea of John, what it was that he's trying to get across to us who are reading some over 2,000 years after he has penned these words. And so as we've gone through the gospel according to John, we certainly have come into contact with individuals such as Nicodemus in chapter 3, and who Jesus tells him in no uncertain terms that one must be born again. And so as we go in then into chapter 4, Jesus then works with a woman by the well. And she, at the end of which, makes the statement, "I perceive that you are a prophet." And Jesus then reveals himself to her that "I am the Messiah." And such, we then go on and we learn of where Jesus heals a man who had been impotent. In other words, he was unable to move and walk on his own for some 38 years. And so he simply walks past some others and steps over others still to get to this man. And so he gives this man a simple instruction to take up your bed and rise up and walk. And certainly the man does exactly as Jesus has told him to do. But the thing about it is that he did this on the Sabbath day. And so the Pharisees, the Sadducees, certainly the scribes took umbrage. They were upset about the fact that Jesus had healed someone on the Sabbath day. And don't you know that Jesus, being Jesus, didn't do that once, but then we learned that he did it a second time, where he found the man who had been blind from birth, and he took a little dirt from the ground, spat into it, made a little clay, rubbed it on his eyes, and told him to go wash at the pool of Siloam. And such was his transition from after he had received that he had made his way back to where those who had known him, his change was such that they themselves did not quite understand what it was that had happened, that he who was born blind is now able to see. And so they immediately take this man and run him before the Pharisees. And so it is at that time that the Pharisees, unable to deny the fact that Jesus had performed all these wonderful things, all these wonderful miracles, and yet and still they could not deny it, but yet and still they chose to deny him. And at that point, the Bible tells us that they wanted to kill Jesus. And so here it is now in chapter 12, we find that Jesus has made his way into Jerusalem. At this point, he has already had the triumphant entry. And now we find that this is one of the last times where he will conduct a public ministry in the presence of the crowds. We find that it is here that he begins to transition from public ministry to that walk towards the cross. So let me give you this. If you miss my sermon, remember this point. And if you remember the point, you will have my sermon. And my point is this: when Christ speaks to you today, open your eyes, soften your hearts, and be healed. When Christ speaks to you today, open your eyes, soften your hearts, and then be healed. Here we find that beginning in verse 35, Jesus begins to talk about those who are or who have blind eyes. Verse 35, he tells them that you ought to walk in the light while you have the light, because darkness will not overtake you if you're walking in the light. The one who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going. While you have the light, he tells them, believe in the light. For what purpose? So that you might become sons of the light. Bible tells us these things that Jesus proclaimed, he then went away and he hid himself from them. Jesus ends his discourse with the crowds. Those same crowds, we find that would follow Jesus for many different reasons. Not everybody who followed Jesus followed Jesus for the same reason. Many times people who followed Jesus would follow him around to see what type of miracles he would perform, what type of signs would he perform. They followed Jesus to see the Jesus show. They came to be entertained. They didn't come to be saved. And then there were some who followed Jesus because they heard that there was a time, and certainly we love up, we read of it, where Jesus has taken some fish and some loaves of bread, a small child's lunch, and he blesses it and he breaks it. And from that, he's able to feed over 5,000 people. And so some people heard about this and they probably followed Jesus because they heard that it was a good way to get a meal. If we follow Jesus, maybe at some point he'll take those, find some fish and find some loaves and feed us again. But then again, there were those who followed Jesus because they actually believed in what it was that Jesus was saying. Yet here, still in this particular chapter, we see that Jesus is moving from his public ministry, and then he begins to prepare his disciples to become apostles. This crowd would not see Jesus preach or teach again. At this point, if they were to hear the gospel again, it would be through those very same disciples who would see Jesus go to the cross, see Jesus, nails placed in his hands. Those same disciples would see Jesus have a stake placed through his feet. They would see him stretched wide and hung high. Those same disciples would see then Jesus die, placed in a borrowed tomb. But the thing that makes the disciples apostles is that they will testify to the fact that Jesus was only in the grave for 3 whole days, and that he will make an appearance among them all, not just once, not just twice, not just over a couple of days, but over 40 days, that they will have contact with Jesus. But these crowds will not have any more contact with Jesus. Next time they'll hear about Jesus will be when Peter is in Acts, and Peter will begin to preach about Jesus Christ. But for what we have decided that we are going to cover today, Jesus is telling the crowd that they have an opportunity if they will simply open their eyes, no longer walk in the darkness, but receive the light. And after having received the light, believe in the light, become sons of the light, and walk in the light. The thing is this, that some people believe that they can continue to grope around in the dark and somehow find their way. The Bible makes it clear, and certainly those of you who were in Sunday school this morning realize that you will never be able to find your way groping in the dark. That at some point in time, you must open your eyes or allow your eyes to be opened, or your eyes must be healed so that you can then see the glory of the sun. They blinded their own eyes. They did not want to believe. The hardening of our hearts begins when we choose to blind our eyes to the truth of the light. Here, Jesus in verse 38 begins to talk about hard hearts. Here, he gives us the words of Isaiah as he gives us a prophecy. Isaiah says, "The Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Says, "For this reason, they could not believe. For Isaiah says again, he has blinded their eyes. He has hardened their hearts. They would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I healed them." We all realize, those of us who have believed in our heart, those of us who have confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, realize that in that confession, in that believing, in that receiving the Holy Spirit, there is a healing that overcomes us. God, through the grace gift of Jesus Christ, upon his death, his burial, his resurrection, has made it so that upon the confession of our sins, upon the confession of the fact that we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are been healed of our sin sickness. It is upon that confession that our eyes have been opened. It is upon that confession that our hearts have been broken, but yet reformed again, so that we can receive the gift of healing that comes in salvation. Why is it that people would blind their eyes? Why is it that people would choose to have a hard heart condition? Well, I think it makes it pretty clear. Certainly, the Bible study lesson this morning lets us know that there are just some people who just will not turn from their wicked ways. They have decided in and of themselves that I can do this. I don't need no help. I've heard about Jesus. I think he's done some good things. He's a good teacher. He's a good man. He's a good person. But I don't need Jesus to get me where I want to go. Well, ma'am, well, sir, I beg to differ. Well, the Bible lets us know that no man can come unto the Father except through the Son. The only way that you might receive the Son is to say, Lord God, open my eyes that I might receive. There is the blinding of our eyes that results in the hardening of our hearts. And certainly this is foretold by Isaiah. Even though they had seen all the miracles that Jesus had done, they did not look at the signs which pointed to the Christ so that Jesus might heal them. But they looked at the signs and said, isn't that nice? Isn't that interesting? How come he didn't make any more food? And that's how sometimes we are. We look at the signs, but the signs were never given so that in and of themselves that they would bring about your salvation. Signs are simply that. They let you know what you need to know and may even point you to somewhere else. Stop signs let you know that you need to stop because there may be traffic on its way. There might be other signs that have squiggly lines on the road and little water drops on them, which lets you know that when it rains on this road, you may lose traction in your car. A sign just simply gives you an idea what to look out for. The same is true with the signs that Jesus performed. The signs in and of themselves all point to Jesus. They are to get your attention so that you might take your eyes off yourself and look in the direction of Jesus. And then the words that he would speak would then reach out to your hard hearts to soften your heart, that you then might receive the healing that comes with salvation. They were blind because they wanted to be blind. Their hearts were hard because their hearts were already in such a condition that they were already somewhat hardened. Now we see this also if we look at Pharaoh. You remember Pharaoh, the same Pharaoh that was holding the children of Israel as slaves. This is the same Pharaoh who did not know, the Bible says, did not know Joseph, did not know the things that he had done. But this Pharaoh had enslaved the children of Israel, had kept them slaves for some 400 years. The Bible says that God had heard the groaning of the people. And so he calls forth Moses from out of the desert and employs him to free these people. God gives Moses instruction. In chapter 4 of Exodus, God tells Moses that Pharaoh's heart, matter of fact, that he will harden Pharaoh's heart. But Pharaoh's heart was already hard. God just allowed Pharaoh to continue in the vein that he had already started. Even as we go through in Exodus chapter 7 and 22, at the plague of blood that was on the Nile, we see that what? Pharaoh's heart became hard. In the second plague of frogs, the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. In the third, the fourth, and even the fifth plague, the Bible says that Pharaoh's heart was hard. The sixth and the seventh plague, and even through the eighth and the ninth plague, the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, which tells us that if you are already inclined to a hard heart and you have no wish to change, God will allow you to continue in the vein that you are in until such a point that we find it even in the last plague that fell upon Egypt and Pharaoh, which was the plague of death of the firstborn. The Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. The failure to see with your eyes and perceive with your heart brings about the hardening of the heart. It will prevent salvation and it will prevent healing. Lastly, the hardening of your heart begins when you choose to blind your eyes to the truth. When you choose to harden your heart, it prevents salvation and healing. But then lastly, the reason why many people continue to harden their heart was because of the approval of men. Here in verse 42 and 43, it tells us that nevertheless, many, even the rulers themselves, because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him. They believed, but they were afraid of men because they were afraid to be kicked out of the synagogue. For the Bible then says in verse 43, they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Verse 42 makes it clear that while many in the crowd did not believe, there were those who were among the scribes and the Pharisees who did believe. Wasn't that interesting? The very people who would come and test him, the very people who would go and follow him around to try and catch him up in what in some type of sin, the very people who would place questions before him. Should we pay taxes unto Caesar? Those very same people heard Jesus, and yet and still they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They believed that he had come from God, but yet and still they would not say it because they were afraid of what others might say. And isn't that not any different from what we see and hear today? There are many of those who are under the sound of my voice right here and right now. You believe in your heart. You may even very well be willing to confess with your mouth, but nobody knows that you're saved. The simple fact of the matter is that Jesus says that if you would deny me among men, I will deny you in front of the Father. See, salvation is not complete unless others know that you're saved. At the end of the day, people must know that you have taken a stand for righteousness, no matter what that might cost you. And it might cost you a lot. And for some people, it's cost them their lives to say that I believe in a risen Savior, that I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that I believe that Jesus is coming again, and that when he does come again, he's coming for those who are his children. I've just come by to let you know this morning that there is a practical reason and purpose for our choices that we must make. The choice of salvation comes with some real practical consequences. You say out loud that you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. That comes with a consequence. It means that sometimes the people you used to run with, you can't run with no more. It means that the things that you used to do, you can't do no more because you've made that confession. Because you've made that confession, there's now a requirement on your life to do that which God has called all his children to do, which is to walk in the light, walk in the beautiful light. That means that when you walk in the light, you have an obligation to do that which God has called you to do. He's called you to walk in his word. He's called you to walk in his will. He's called you to walk in his way. And all those things require that you need to know what is his word. What is the walk? What is the way that Jesus would have me go? There's only two choices. You walk in the way where men know that you have made Jesus and heaven your home, or you walk in such a way that you seek the approval of men. This funny thing about the approval of men, just as easy as you can get it, you can lose it. Most men, most people, the world itself has very little use for you if you can't do something for them. The world has very little use for you if you don't act like the world, if you don't do the things of the world. The world has very little use for you. And so you do what you want to do. You say what you want to say. You run like you want to run in hopes that the world will give you its approval. But at the end of the day, the world really doesn't care. The world will forget you just as quick as it will celebrate you. But I serve a risen Savior. And because he's gotten up, he has given us the ability to get up with him as well. He has given us the promise of eternal life. And the wonderful thing about Jesus is that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The Bible says he will be with you even until the end of the age. But you have to be able to see with your eyes, have compassion in your heart, so that he might heal your sin-sick soul, reject the approval of men, and accept the love of God. Harden not your heart. Do not blind your eyes. Hard hearts prevent salvation and healing. And do not seek the approval of men, but seek the approval of God. The word of God has gone forward and is doing those things which God has purposed them to do. Some to be encouraged, some to be exhorted, and others still to come into a saving knowledge of him. I would simply ask that you would say this prayer with me. Father God, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. Holy Spirit, come into my heart and make me the kind of Christian that you would have me to be. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer with me, and you've believed it in your heart, the Bible says that you are saved. There's nothing more than you must do. The angels in heaven are celebrating because of what it is that you've done. But the thing is this, I'm not an angel in heaven. I have no idea what it is that you've done. But I sure would like to celebrate it with you. So I would simply ask that if you would be both good and kind enough, that you would reach out to us here at New Beginning Christian Fellowship Church at NBCFC.org, or you can reach me by my blog, preachermanstan.com. And please, ma'am, please, sir, be kind enough to let us know what it is that you have done today so that we might celebrate with you, but in hopes that we might also be of a blessing and encouragement to you as well. That as a brand new Christian, you will find that you're going to need encouragement. You're going to need people who are around you to encourage you in walking in the light. Let me pray for you one more time, and I'm going to send you on your way. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for what eyes have seen, what ears have heard. We ask that like good seed on good ground, that it would produce fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Our prayer is, Father God, that some would be encouraged to walk a little bit straighter in that light, and then others still would step out of darkness and move into the marvelous light. I thank you and praise you for the word that you've given us this day. I thank you and praise you that you have continually been with us and will continue to be with us throughout ceaseless ages. I come praying for those, Father God, who are listening to me via Facebook and ask, Father God, that you would bless them this day, that you would not allow them to allow this day to come to an end without them making a decision for you. Now, these and all other things we ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. May God bless you and keep you. That is my prayer.